Pray with me for a moment, please. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful. Kindle in us the fire of your love and send your Spirit to us and recreate us and renew us. Together with you, we'll be part of renewing the face of this world. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, send that same Spirit now to our open hearts. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do this with me. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and this is Paul's words to say, if you look at what the Spirit is doing inside of a person or a community, a church, a group of believers, a Sunday school class, a Bible study, inside of a ministry area, inside of individuals, inside families, this is kind of the outcome. This is the fruit of God's Spirit at work inside these things. There's no law against these things. Tom read us a whole kind of list of things that were like, not so good, not healthy to individuals, not healthy to communities. But then, there's the turn, right? And the fruit of the Spirit is, come on, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay. Now let me talk to you about that. A couple of years ago, I was missing my mom. She died 3 weeks after my father died in the spring of 2020. And everybody's suffering is different, but in this, I feel really a tender place for the Essington family and what they have gone through in the loss of both Bob and Judy, so close together. I was missing my mom in one spring day, and I just needed to do something with that energy. And I was not really sure kind of what to do. And I started kind of reflecting on my connection with other people, like my dad and so many other people that have been part of my, kind of family, my sort of connections with them. And so I did what any good person would do. I got a subscription to Ancestry.com. Actually, I'm not selling that for sure. But I started wondering about my family and the connections that we had with each other. And that was a means for me to do that. Now, when I knew that parts of my family had really kind of deep ties with the British Isles, with England for sure, and Ireland. But what I didn't really have a full sense of is a connection with the Scots. And I learned that part of my ancestry included a connection with the Ferguson family. All right, so there are Fergusons in my family line. The Fergusons are merchants and farmers. Yeah, there's no kind of deep royalty inside of there. They did their part for sure. Now, as I learned about the tartan and about the clan and all the kind of things that they were part of. The things I also learned were about the family crest, which includes, right in the middle of it, a thistle. You know what a thistle is? Not something you pick up and chew on, right? Thorny, monster little thing. And a bee, all right? Two things in my family crest, they're saying, come on, don't mess. And both of them thorny, both of them complicated and that sort of thing. And so it looks like this. You can see right in the middle there, there's the thistle with the purple top, and then there's a bee right above it there. Now also there is an inscription in Latin there
Dulceus ex asperensis, asperaris.
My Latin is really bad, okay? So Latin readers, speakers in there, don't judge me, please. But if you know Latin, then you might know the translation, which is sweeter after difficulties. And that's something I had to sit and think about that for a while. What is, that's the family crest. That's like, here's our motto. This is what we understand about ourselves. We're sweeter after difficulties. You know? And it made me think about all the ways in which these things that occur in our life are also means by which the Holy Spirit can show up in the middle of and offer possible transformation. This after going through that. Now, the fall, in October, we will have a celebration here at our church of 150 years of being a church. Before there was a Sterling United Methodist Church, there was a mother church that was connected to the Methodist Episcopal Church, the Methodist Episcopal Church South, and all kinds of versions thereof, and it worked its way from what is now a storage facility down the road. Some of y'all know this story, and people, marched a lot of the life and the equipment of that church down the road and up this hill into a new space. But the church, the people, that's a long, continuous piece. You with me? 150 years of ministry and mission inside of our church. One of the things that, you know, the folks that have been thinking about the 150th is the way in which this church has continued to be and worked to be a missional beacon inside of the church, inside of the community, rather. Sorry. Inside of the community, this church has been the presence of care and concern and the development, not only inside of this community, but around the world through our connection, through the Methodist connection, we have been at work for the good. And that's great. You know, one of the things that we particularly have identified, maybe more so in more recent years, is that we feed people around here, right? Our Grace Ministries sees around 300 families a month. That's, you know, well over 1,000 people get direct food support through the life of this church. And that's beautiful. You know, a lot of churches do that. A lot of churches understand that we're part of loving your neighbor and doing that, having that responsibility. And churches that thrive. I've been a pastor for 25 years now. Churches that thrive are missional, are looking to do the good. And so that's great. That's beautiful. And also, you know, over the course of 150 years, this church has been part of the ways in which people have come to understand and live into a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, right? There are so many, baptisms that have been baked into this place. We just recently, thanks to the Master's Crafters, were able to refurbish our baptismal font here. Did you know there was a bowl inside of here? Some of you didn't know. I just blew your mind. This is not our original one. The original one, I think, is still in my office, if I'm not mistaken. Should have brought that, too. But over the course of the years, think about how many people were baptized in this, through the water that is placed inside of this. And I'm so glad that we were able to refurbish this and continue to use it, to continue to have it in service. Isn't that something that we can actually kind of take things, repair them, and keep going? Right? We can take things, repair them, take care of them, and keep going. Something we haven't done when this was finished is we didn't pray for this or reconsecrate it. I'd like to do that now. Would you do that with me? If you would extend a hand towards this bowl and let us pray together. Merciful and loving God, we give you thanks for the many lives that have been changed through the power of your love as seen through the waters of baptism and through the formation of Christian disciples here at Sterling United Methodist Church. Thank you, God, for this vessel. Use us as vessels as well. And help us, Lord, to move forward. We love you and we praise you. And we pray all this in the holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Think of all those people that have been baptized and all those that are still yet to come. We have one later in the summer. Okay? We have others. We began the year with baptisms in this space. That's a long legacy, 150 years of that. But also, we have 150 years of conflict and dysfunction and the lingering pain and trauma that comes from that. We have that, too. That's part of our story, too. It's not something that we can just sweep under the rug. Now, I'm not speaking about one particular group. Our individual as part of this, in the midst of this, this week alone, I spent time counting it up the other day as I was preparing for a time. I, this week, have dealt directly with five thorny, complicated issues related to our church. Okay, and then there are three others that I learned about that I've just not been directly confronted with yet. This is part of it. And honestly, conflict is a natural part of having relationships with people. We're not always going to see eye to eye. We're not always going to agree on things. We have to work through the conflicts that are going on. And how we work through it, you know, is in a lot of ways our choice. There are things in which we might find ourselves kind of dealing with, but are also places in which the Holy Spirit can also help shape, will help as we are open to speaking the language of other people and being able to listen and hear and process that too. The good news is it's part of it. It's baked in. And the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, let's do this together. I've come to you in the sound and the rush of a mighty wind to say, we can do this together. In fact, we can cross over our communications, those barriers that are set between us. So, again, once more, the fruit of the Spirit, all right? The fruit of the Spirit, that which is going through, right? Sweeter, after. By the way, that Latin word, the last word, it could mean like really rough, tough mess, right? Sweetness after the really rough, tough mess. So how is the Spirit inside of us working inside of this body, those folks who are part of us who are online in our larger community, and right here, how is the Holy Spirit making itself known? What kind of challenges or invitations or incitements, what kind of things is the Holy Spirit saying, hey, humility would be helpful here. Hey, you don't understand things completely, but being open-minded and open-hearted across those barriers, even places of disagreement and conflict. How is God's Spirit revealing inside of what we choose to do. What is it again? Say it with me. The fruit of the Spirit is peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against those things. Nothing wrong with that. On this Pentecost Sunday, as we are finding ourselves here on the 8th of June, 2025, almost 150 years since the progenitors of this church began to kind of do the work. Almost 2,000 years since Jesus Christ, came on the scene and transformed everything. You know, hundreds of thousands of years of the Holy Spirit, hovering over all of creation, trying to bring us back into the place of God's heart. As we stand at this place and this time, how is God's Spirit at work? How is God's Spirit, I ask you, at work inside of us, Sterling United Methodist Church? Constituents, friends, members, how is God's Spirit at work in this community and in the broader community, in the world outside of those doors? How is God's Spirit at work through us and in us, because of us? And how's that Spirit saying things here to your soul, to your mind, to your heart? How's the fruit? I love strawberries. I'm not supposed to eat a lot of them, but I love strawberries. Do you like strawberries? Love strawberries. And the beautiful thing about strawberries is they're easy to grow. They're easy to grow at home. You know, you just have to kind of like do a little bit of work for it, but you have to do the work. We tried when I was young to try to always sort of have them terraced. That helps with all the root kind of stuff going on. Love that. And if you tend to a good strawberry patch, it'll produce, right? It'll produce well and produce well over time. That's beautiful. What I don't like is the fruit that has been sitting in the refrigerator long enough to start growing things, or to get mushy. You know, there's nothing like reaching in there for that beautiful, it's like, you know, it's the size of a walnut or better, you know, that beautiful strawberry, and then flipping it over and it goes. How's the fruit? I ask this to you. I ask this to the church. I ask this to the world. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.